Warning, the following podcast contains irreverent, extremely immature humor. There is no limit on language that can be used and very little educational value. Hey, this is Marco. This time around, I'm talking to Deputy Stink, representing the Outer Banks of North Carolina. After a very long bus trip from Los Angeles down to Laticla, Mexico, a place known in my memory as Don't Eat the Pork Tacos Point, for reasons that you'll find out during this hour-long extravaganza of verbiage. So after a very long bus trip from Los Angeles, 30-something hours, I just remember eating bread and drinking beer or sodas because I didn't want to drink the water. You're dropped off on the highway, and it's a pretty long distance to walk into the little village, and the palop is there at Laticla. So when you rock up there after this long bus trip and you see the surfers who are there, you know, it's always cars from California or Texas. But when I saw the North Carolina plates, these guys from the Outer Banks kind of have a reputation of ruggedness and down-home hospitality at the same time, being people, guys you really just don't want to mess with. Great senses of humor. These guys drove multiple times across the country, so across the United States, and then down into Mexico, which is a multiple-day trip, at least 4 or 5 days of constant driving. So veterans of the drive, and also survival stories of near lynchings, deaths in the mountains, surviving gunfights from the cartel, scorpion stings, the doctor's office, and Russell the Rajneesh is one day, 24 hours at Don't Eat the Pork Tacos Point. The mystery of who were those two guys in the orange tent, and my favorite story of all is the bar fight at Amalia's, where there's literally three tables. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Pick up a nice cold beer, cold drink, turn your couch into a hammock, and away we go with Deputy Stink, Outer Banks, North Carolina.
Are you comfortable?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. On. You got something to drink?
I got water and a Tecate.
Perfect. All right. Hey, I'm here with Deputy Stink, and I'm going to tell a little bit about what I know about you. I'm going to leave people to just consider your name and leave it to their imagination for how you actually got name Deputy Stink. It's one of the better surf nicknames I've ever heard. But I do know that you don't mind hopping in a car to go on a trip down the road or, you know, across continents multiple times. We met in a place that I like to call Don't Eat the Pork Tacos Point, better known as Laticla, Mexico.
Or City of Pigs.
Yeah, the City of Pigs. And you hail from the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And that's basically all I know about you. How far off am I? And how'd you get started into surfing? Are you originally from the Banks?
No, I grew up probably 3 hours from the Outer Banks and grew up surfing just south of Virginia Beach at a little place called Sandbridge. Pretty much like Virginia Beach type waves, gutless, you know, it has its moments. But took vacation down here with my parents, you know, when I was a kid, young. Started surfing in Sandbridge when I was like 12. You know, kind of fell in love with it and thought, hey, you know, it'd be kind of cool to surf in the summers and snow ski in the winters. You know, kind of had that little fantasy going on in my head. And went to college for a couple of years in Virginia Beach. That's all that lasted. But I was down here in the summers working and ended up dropping out, moving down here, thinking that, you know, it's a short stop off on the life's journey, whatever. Never really thought it'd be home. now flash forward whatever 40 years later and still here.
Yeah, so you were just going to move down for the – so you quit school and moved to Hatteras to surf?
Well, to Nag's Head, which it's actually – you know, I think I maybe told you too. It's kind of funny that this is Marco's hammock because when I met you, I was working at Nag's Head Hammocks.
Yeah, no, that you're one of the few people that I've talked to that actually can make a hammock. That's pretty
– Yeah, I could make one from start to finish for you. Jeez. Not nearly as comfortable as a Mexican hammock, I can tell you that. But,
I know. You could actually sit in your garage and make a hammock.
If I had everything, yeah, you know.
Pretty
it,
impressive.
It could be done, yes. It could be done.
So did you bring some? Was that because I remember you guys just – okay, so to set this up, I went to Latico on my way to back to Florida. And I had been in Hawaii for – I'd been gone from home for like 3 or 4 years. And I was heading back to see my mom and dad in Florida and work for a few months. And then kind of, you know, one of those in-between stages of life. And I just decided to do it, you know, instead of flying all the way home, I just flew to L.A., caught the bus down to Laticla, I think was my first stop.
Wow. See, that's, I always kind of wondered, like, how in the hell did you bus and end up at Tequila?
I remember my feet were just swollen from like the blood being, they were like balloons. I remember getting off the bus and the road to into Latico was pretty far. I remember.
Yeah.
Pretty good little hike in there. It was just like, I could feel the blood, like, you know, like bouncing off the sides of my skin.
You know, and I was thinking back too, like, cause we had gone down to Tequila 2 years earlier or to mainland. We had driven from here, the Outer Banks, down to mainland Mexico 2 years earlier in a 1970 Nova that I bought from my grandmother. And you know, and you were talking about the, seeing people with North Carolina tags or a vehicle. Yeah. Well, that trip we went down and stayed at Brown, who was with me when, you know, you met Brown.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed with his brother in Mobile, Alabama. And when we were there, I realized my registration had expired and we weren't going to get across the border. So I got Alabama tags. Now there's an, how many Alabama surfers do you run into?
Yeah. I didn't see you guys. Did actually anybody make any comments? Cause there's not too many people back in it. And the day we're talking about, so 35 years ago, Tico was really, to me, the Wild West of surfing. I mean, you could
totally,
it was just, it was really, people say, oh, Mexico's dangerous. You know, I think, well, shit, man, do you have any idea how dangerous it was in 35 years ago?
It was, and you know, and I tell people dangerous. It was like the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure you witnessed, because we did multiple times, like the people from up in the little village up above the beach, drunk walking down the middle of the road at night, shooting their guns off, like pulling their little six shooters out and just pow, pow, pow. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, how many places does that happen?
Yeah, not, and even now, I think if you went there now, I don't think they would do that now. Actually, I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't. I really don't have too much of a desire to go back there, but I don't know if that's because of the the stuff that I remember from being there before, or just moving on. But
yeah, it's
but
kind
so
of...
getting back to that. So I rocked up and I see North Carolina plates, and basically I see you guys. Again, I never saw any of you guys wear a shirt or shoes. It was just surf shorts. I remember lots of weed.
Oh yeah.
Lots of beer can.
Cal.
lots of just hanging out and chilling and just really, a lot of laughs and some really good guys, man. You guys were such a good group to have. You just put
that Southern hospitality thing, you know?
Yeah. Man. Have another toke of weed.
Yeah.
But so you guys are no, that to me, it's just amazing that you drove all the way across country, not California, whatever, but you went to Tequila. And like you just mentioned before with the Alabama plate. So here you are, dropped out of college. You're in the Outer Banks now. You're one of the guys, and then the deputy stink of the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
And so, how do you guys end up in Laticla?
Well,
talk about the first trip you ever did. Like, how'd you bought grandma's classic car?
Well, I
What a
don't think I
trip,
ever, I don't think I ever paid her for it too, my brother. A stiff gra Nana, poor Nana never got her $300. But
stiff grandma.
but you
Jesus.
know, like, so Barry, he had been
Better get on your knees and pray right now, man.
I know, I really did, yeah.
Dear
Heathen.
Lord.
You know, we were all surfers, and you know, I think Barry, I know for a fact, had done some traveling around. I think he had lived in California for a while, gone to Hawaii. You know, I had lived down on St. Thomas one winter, lived down in New Smyrna. You know, so we all had a few little trips under our belts, and I don't know who instigated the whole, like, hey, let's pack up from the Outer Banks and drive to Mexico. And it might have been that I was like the only one with a car at the time. We didn't,
Grandma's.
we didn't
What was it? What was the car?
a 1970 Chevy Nova
Oh
that
my
on the
Lord.
engine actually had a little sticker that said turbo thrift, whatever the hell that meant. Turbo thrift.
At least it was 50. It was good on gas mileage.
But you know, like, we bolted a big 5 gallon metal jerry can to the side of the car because we didn't know, like, is there gas stations everywhere? Are we going to be in the middle of nowhere? Which, by the way, too, so along with the Alabama tags on the jerry can, we had a Larry Flint for president bumpers on
Okay,
jerry.
I should mention Larry Flint is a infamous publisher of Hustler magazine, which was the first,
Literary, yes.
nudie magazine
Yeah, we
of
pretty much had a little stash of those on the Nova with us. So yeah.
so Larry Flint sticker,
Larry Flint tried and
can
shotgun.
bolted to the side, so no one would steal it.
Yeah. But you know, and I don't remember who.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, so before we go too far, so I'm traveling with you. We're leaving
Okay.
North Carolina. You're not sure who started this thing, but
No.
you end up with three guys.
Well, you know,
Three.
and I think once we decided on the Mexico thing, and this could have been one of the deciding factors. Remember the those little kind of yellow paper, the surf reports?
Oh yeah. You ordered them from California or something, and
Yeah.
they gave away every secret.
They
That
gave away.
whoever made that, whoever did publish that or whatever, was literally on like
Yeah.
surfers' death lists and
Sure.
stuff. Because he,
Well, we
yeah.
had
So you
one.
guys
We
bought
had
theirs.
one for that area of Mexico.
Oh, right.
If
Okay.
you remember too, they had like a feature on the front. It was like they always picked like Barbados or Puerto
Right.
Rico. And then you got on the inside and it kind of had surf reports of all these, you know, East Coast, West Coast, Australia.
Yep, and it would have a very detailed map with the arrows pointing,
Yeah.
telling exactly how to go there, take the first left and all that. So
So,
there's before the internet, there was the surf report, and it was very detailed to find out all these little secret spots.
yeah, so we knew we were going to Mexico. We just really didn't know where. It's like we didn't have Tikla, like, oh, we're going there. We just ended up there. You know, I mean, we knew we were going somewhere up and down the coast of Mexico. Wherever we found surf was where we'd kind of end up, hang out, whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are doing, so you load up, there's three of you, boards on the roof, jerry cans, Larry Flint for president, grandma's
Chevy.
free car
Yep.
that you still owe her for, and so you head down and you get to Alabama, because it would seem like you guys would cut through Tennessee or something and then
Well,
go
you know,
down.
there's multiple ways from where we live to get across the country. Going across Tennessee is like the direct route, but that's going to take you to like California. To cross,
Okay.
like where we were crossing was in Texas. And I guess Brown's brother living in Mobile, Alabama, we wanted to stop off, you know, just a pit stop to see him because that's probably from here. That's 10 or 12 hours, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's drive for
Yeah.
sure.
So we got down there, you know, and that's when I realized the whole needing to get new registration. And then we took 10 across,
That's
you know, New Orleans, whatever,
funny.
Mississippi.
It took you all the way to Alabama before you realized you were totally illegal to get into Mexico.
Hey, you know, young and dumb, what can you say?
Yeah, you get to the border and they're like, "No, señor, sorry,
Yeah, we
you
ran.
must go back."
I remember running into some guys somewhere. They were like from California, and they were like, you know, we saw you guys back up the coast somewhere, you know, a couple hours or whatever. And we were like, look at these freaking hodads, man, with Alabama tags and all that.
Larry Flint for president.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we drove, like, we crossed at Laredo in Texas, which is kind of like the middle of Texas. Like, if you're looking across like the Gulf Coast, I guess it's not Brownsville's right on the Gulf. So you're
Yeah, it's more the middle. Yeah, it's
the
there's
middle of
several
Texas.
crossings. This one's like south of El Paso,
Yeah, like kind of south of
down there.
Houston, somewhere out. Anyway, and you're kind of cutting diagonal across basically the center of frickin' Mexico. Like, we went in.
And did any of you guys speak Spanish, or what were your impressions right across the border?
I'd taken some Spanish in high school, and at that point, well, that was my first Spanish speaking trip. And believe it or not, I didn't learn a whole lot in high school, but we actually had a pretty good Spanish teacher, and I kind of liked it. So things were coming back, like verbs and nouns, and you know what I mean? So it didn't take a whole lot to be able to rudimentary put together some, ways to communicate. Cervezas, cerveza
The
fría, por
important
favor, Mucha
thing.
bueno. Yeah, basically, the people from the Outer Banks, the place shuts down in the winter, so we would either people would go on surf trips, or a lot of people would go to ski resorts. And being the illustrious hammock weaver that I was, we scrounged together like $500, and that took me to Mexico the first time for 2 months.
That awesome?
Then the next year, Costa Rica for 2 months, and then the year when I met you, we were down there for a couple of months.
But I'll never forget you. Once you got my con, we got kind of knowing each other and stuff. You pulled me to the side and was, I remember we're sitting around, we might have had quite a bit of mezcal, and you said, your voice dropped to, I can barely hear you, man. And yet he actually like told me to come over, and darting eyes, looking out into the darkness by the fire. And Mark, man, I got to tell you a story about the first time we were here.
Ah, the Tequila lynching.
Yeah.
That's
What I besides you guys surfing, that's when I realized you had major balls to even go back there. So you go to Teakland and
one time when we were in Tequila in that first trip, and it was one night, we were in Amalia's little.
Maybe three-tabled restaurant, and that's what you're talking about. What's her name?
I guess it's Molly, maybe in English.
Molly.
Molly, I've always said
Molly. Okay.
Amalia.
Okay. Yeah, and she was
And when
pretty
you say
mellow.
a restaurant, too, you got to give the listeners even a little more description that this is an open, palm frond thatched, kind of open walled palapa, sand, pigs and dogs and whatever running through the place while you're sitting there. So, and she's in the back, which I was trying to dig up a picture, and I've got it somewhere of her making corn tortillas with like the big stone, and she's kind of pressing them out and cooking over a fire. So
And I should add, and she made her own homemade mezcal that
exactly.
caused me to see
We
visions. I've
all
never
did.
seen man for 50 cents. She'd fill up your Coke bottle,
And no running water, no electricity,
no toilets.
which, yeah, we'll get to that because I've got a bit.
Yeah, exactly. But let's finish about the death story, because I just. What
Yeah,
happened?
back to the Tequila lynching. So we're all hanging out. Some guys from California. There was a girl in town. I think she was a Texan. She was hanging out with us. And, of course, we've been drinking cervezas and Amalia's, home brewed mezcal. And these locals from up, and that's another thing too, describing the place. There was a little village, remember, that you would drop down to the that was up on the hill above the river, and to get to the actual beach, you would drop down a little dirt road to the oceanfront, little dirt cobblestone road. And I think it was like some people from, that lived up in the village showed up, and they were, very drunk as we all were, but they were saying some really crude stuff to this girl. Well, one of the guys that was with us, Bubba, who his name's Cameron, which is kind of funny. Cameron is shrimp, which a lot of the guys, the locals, got a kick out of that because he was anything but a shrimp. Was kind of a,
Especially if his name is Bubba.
yeah.
You don't too see too many skinny Bucktooth Bubba's. They're usually
Nah.
pretty thick.
And so I think
Just goes with the name.
Bubba like grabbed the way the whole thing started was I think Bubba grabbed one of the guys and was like, you know, I ought to kick your ass or whatever. And that just turned in from that one little thing in my memory to just this melee of like, I kind of likened it to mid-Atlantic wrestling. It wasn't like there weren't any punches thrown. It wasn't like a fight, like a bar brawl punch slugfest. It was more throwing people around and just, you know.
But you mean Bubba or the whole everybody?
Ed,
You guys
no,
too?
everybody at that point, like me, the Mexicans, these California guys that were with us, and
You guys got into a bar fight at
Molly.
Molly.
Well, and it probably didn't last
Those
that.
like three tables there. You know how hard that is to do. It
Yeah.
was like
But, you know, so, I mean, it was actually kind of
rolling,
intense.
wait, rolling around the dirt, tables flying everywhere.
Yeah. Like, I think at one point I looked at this California dude who really liked going to the Farmacia too and getting pills. And, you know, he's like laying, he's on his back on the ground and this Mexican dude's on top of him and he's like pulling the California dude's hair. And the dude from California is just screaming, somebody get this guy off of me. You know? And I think I like go run over and grab the Mexican dude, throw him off. And it was just this, to me, not that bad, you know, big of a deal. Well, Amalia came up, you know, after a little while. It wasn't probably that long. And she's like, you know, this is it's Malo, Malo. Like, this is bad. You know, you guys need to leave or whatever. So anyway, we go back to the Palapa and, you know, start rolling up some joints. You know, we're going to get high, whatever. And Barry had Montezuma's Revenge, and he's laying in a cot. He doesn't know any of this has even gone on. And Bubba like stumbles off down the road to get a beer from one of the other little palapas or whatever. And a few minutes later, man, I'm like, we had the little door kind of shut, you know, and there's like a bunch of racket outside. And I go to the door, and it looked like every male from up in the village of Tikla from 8 to 80. And they're all standing around like the Novas backed up kind of up under the Palapa too. But they're standing around and they've got guns and ropes. And I'm like going, you know, ¿Qué es lo problema? You know, like, what's the problem? And they're going, shut up, you know, like, come with us. Like, let's vamonos, vamonos. And I'm like, I kept trying to play dumb. Like, you know, we're trying to sleep. You know, I'm trying to converse with them in Spanish. You know, we're trying to sleep. And they're going, shut up, let's go. And Barry laying in the cot starts screaming at the top of his lungs. He's going, help, help.
And he's
Well, I
got the
guess
shits,
Bubba heard all.
and he's got the shits, huh?
And I think Bubba heard all the commotion. So he starts coming back down the little cobblestone road or whatever. Well, when I wouldn't go with him, because I'm the one standing at the door, the dudes, a couple of dudes from California are sitting in the little inside because we're all getting ready to catch a buzz. And this guy starts swinging handcuffs and like starts hitting me on my, I'm like throwing my arm up to block the shots. And it's like taking little chunks of freaking skin off of me.
Shit.
And I'm like, yo, man, why, you know? And I look over and Bubba's surfboard standing there. I like grab his board and flop it up in front of me, like trying to shield this guy from hitting me. And about that time, like out of the corner of my eye, I see a freaking dude. He's got a chain and hits me over the head with the chain.
God.
And you know how head wounds are. I mean, I look down and blood's pouring out of my head. And I'm like, I don't know how bad I'm cut or what, the blood's like just pouring out. And I'm like, all right, man, quit hitting me, you know, we're going with you. And so I go outside, lay down by my car trying to act like they freaking killed me, kind of rub blood all over my face, and I'm kind of just laying there. And Bubba comes up and he's like, oh my God, like he doesn't know what's happened. And there's all these Mexicans from Tikla standing around, you know, with all their whatever weapons. And he's Bubba's going, man, you got to get up, man. These
Yeah, I remember you
guys are
saying there
getting.
was like you noticed a lot of machetes and they had torches and stuff. Didn't they have like torches?
Oh, yeah, I don't know about the torches, but they had, yeah. I mean, everybody had something in their hand. Like there were rifles,
Oh,
pistols,
shit.
knives, ropes.
This is not looking
So,
good, huh?
yeah,
Damn.
Bubba's like, man, you got to get up. They're going to start kicking you in the head. So we get up and they walk us up the hill into the village. And like in my head, I'm going, fuck, they're going to take us up and shoot us. Because these guys are like exchanging bullets and talking. And then some guys start clacking rocks together. They're holding rocks and they start clacking. I'm like, oh, they're not going to shoot us. They're going to stone us.
Jeez.
All this shit's going through my head, you know. And so anyway, they take us
no up. No way to run or anything, huh? I mean, you always think.
No, because they fucking had guns, man. There's, you know, nah. So they take us up into the village square, which is, you know, very rough in Mexican town square, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, dumpy, never been cleaned since they built it.
And there was a couple of basketball goals at either end of the square were a couple of basketball goals, and then a couple other poles sticking up, and it was me, Bubba. It's funny. It was like the three B's and me, Barry, Bubba Brown, and me, uh-huh. and this guy from California.
Shit. And he just went to your place to get stoned, and here he is.
Here we are. Well, they tied us up to those poles, the basketball goals and these other poles that were out, you know, kind of on the sidelines of the basketball court. They tied us up to those.
Man.
So, you know, so I'm going, I don't know how bad I'm cut, you know, and the blood stopped
bleeding, huh?
You know, it was slowing down at that point, you know, but I'm like, you know, I don't know how, I can't see my head. And basically, you know, we sat up there, it felt like for a couple of hours, it was at least an hour probably. And then they were like all standing around in little groups talking. And, you know, when I say they tied us up, like they had like a little figure eight around my leg and around a basketball goal, which I kind of just flipped my foot and I was basically untied. Like I could run,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, fuck, I'd probably get shot in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where am I going to run to? Mm-hmm. You know, I can't run down and get in my car and come back up through the village.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
You know, I was ready to give them everything too. I was ready to give them my car. You know, I had pretty nice camera shit. I was ready to give them all of that, whatever to get out of this. I think Brown maybe started talking to him, like, you know, hey, you know, basically somehow phrased the question, what's it going to take? What do you guys want for our freedom to be able to walk mm-hmm. away from this?
Mm-hmm.
So they like had a little powwow, $20 a person. So it went from, you know, in my mind to a $20 fine. I'm like, fuck yeah.
That was it?
That was it, but they also made us leave town that night. We had to go back down to our palapa, pack up all our shit, and leave in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
We had to leave Tequila.
Right.
One of the dudes from California must have laid his surfboard in front of my car, and we didn't see it when we were leaving, and we ran his board over.
Oh, shit, man. What was bad.
Like, yeah, and I had to go to the Red Cross the next day and get stitches in my head. It wasn't that bad. It was like a cut on either side of my head, like hit on one side and wrapped across my head and caught the other side.
I know. And so what, coming back there, so you guys left, and then when I saw you was, I think it was 2 years later, you'd come back and man,
yeah.
What was it? Why would you go back? I mean, you must have been
dumb.
I do remember you being pretty careful and not. You still went into Malia's, though. You went into Malia's, and she.
Oh yeah, they all remembered us. They knew who we were. Yeah, and what I was going to say, the guys that we saw, these Mexican Americans and a couple other. They were all from California, a couple of like American, regular gringo looking, and then a couple of Mexican Americans that were Californians that spoke, you know, fluent Spanish. Mm-hmm. And they were the ones that said they had seen us with the Alabama tags and were like, what the fuck? You know, but they heard Barry screaming that night. They were down in the village and they heard Barry. We ran into him like in Tecomán a few days later. And the guys told us, they go, look, man, as bad of a situation, you've got to just let it go. Like, you know, yeah, you guys felt offended that this drunk Mexican was saying some nasty shit to this girl from Texas, but you can't act on that. You've got to just ignore it, get up and leave, whatever. You can't start any kind of altercation because, you know, they're in the law. I mean, when did you ever see, other than the federales coming around, which that's some other stories.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, So, you know, we just figured, yeah, we're going to go back to Tequila and just be muy tranquilo this time. Like, don't ruffle any feathers. And there was a kid from Texas on that first trip who was this cocky little, you know, surfer. But what a lot of those guys from Texas would do, they would come down for a quick surf trip, score however many kilos, and they knew how to get back across the Rio Grande. And this kid we had met on the first trip, the next year when we were in Costa Rica, he got murdered somewhere near Tequila, maybe up in the hills, going to get some weed from one of the growers or something. And yeah, the federales, evidently Amalia or somebody was like told the federales, those guys knew this kid's name was Alan Story. They were like, they must have pointed to us and said, because we used to come in Amalia's and play cards, you know, in the afternoon, drink a beer and just sit around and play cards. And so somebody told the federales we knew Alan. So they were coming to ask us what we knew about Alan. And we had heard that he had been murdered the year before. And they showed up.
He got married. He got murdered in Tequila, or where was he?
Well, it was somewhere in Michoacán.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it was specifically Tequila, but somewhere in the, maybe up in the
Yeah,
hills.
I don't know why you would want to buy and sell weed in New Mexico, and B, leave the coast at all. Why would you even want to go in the mountains? I think I told you
Well, I think
before, like we went into the we'll get into a little bit more, but there's a Tequila is pretty far away from a town, and I always forget the name of it, but it's just a dumpy little town there. And what's it called again? The little town north of
take them.
Tequila, Tequamán. Yeah,
Take them
that's where you
on.
go to get your supplies or whatever. But I hitchhiked in there, and I was hitchhiking back, and there was a pickup truck full of Mexicans and a couple cute girls, and they were, you know, ooh, and flirting with me and stuff, and I was flirting back, you know, and the guys in the truck, the guys I was with, they're like, because the this truck I this truck the flirtatious girls made a left and went up into the mountains, you know, and the guy looked at me, pointed his finger, goes, no, muy mal idea, very bad idea. And I was like, why? And he goes, you know, drugs, like cartel up there. You take a left, you're up in cartel. That's where they grow all the stuff. And so, yeah, I think Alan made a pretty, obviously a pretty bad. That's too bad, huh? I mean,
So we were same thing. You know, we were at one of the little palapas by Amalia's, which had the walls on it. You know, it wasn't the open beach front, just with the thatched roof over your head. And we had rolled up a couple of joints and we're going to walk down to the river to smoke them. And I walk out of the palapa and the federales are standing there. And I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, I got two joints in my pocket and these standing there. And this guy starts asking me about Al. And I just played dumb. I was like, island? Like La Isla? Like an island. And he's like, no, El Nombre, Alan, Island Story, Island. And I'm going, La Isla? I keep saying that. And he finally just,
Gave up.
he like dumb gringo gave up, like this dumbass. But I just didn't want to let on that we knew him. And that was the end of that. I never heard from him again.
Right.
But
And so
it was another one of those little heart thumping in your chest when you've got a couple of joints in your pocket and the federales are standing around with their M16s and.
this whole stretch of Mexico, I think even today, it's not somewhere you just want to go and mess around. Like you said, you know, just you go, you surf, you maintain a low thing. You don't, if the locals are rude to you or whatever, you know, they're just trying to push your buttons, or, you know, they know how the rules work and you don't. And yeah, I think even today, you always hear how dangerous Mexico is. It's just always been that way. You know, whenever you told people going about, oh man, so even today, it's so dangerous. Every just got
And I didn't
you
realize,
know.
I think right around that time when we met you, that was the when the cartel stuff was really starting to happen.
Yeah, no, I've thought about that before, because my brother went to El Salvador in the middle of the Civil War with another surf hero of mine called the Dune Man, in, you know, 1976 or 78 or something like that. And sometimes surfers, especially when you're younger, you just have no clue of the cultural, what's going on, the history or anything. You're just there to catch waves, you know, which is good. And, you know, sometimes the
Well,
locals leave you alone because you're just a surfer. But it's also, you can get yourself up shit creek pretty quick
because
Yeah.
You know. So yeah,
Exactly.
but I just talk a little bit more about the wildness of Chicla, especially. Nexpa has it too. There's quite a few little stretches of places there. Port Escondido, not so much as the Escondido is a little bit more comfortable, but Chicla, I mean, like you just illustrated in your story there, it's like things can go bad so fast there, and you're on your own. There's nothing around.
Take you back in that little coconut grove and dump your body, and the pigs would eat you,
Well,
and that'd
hey,
be it.
let's talk about the pigs because so when I first got there, I had to take a dump, and one of you guys said, "Well, hey, Mark, grab a flag, make yourself a flag, with your Southern hospitality and your accents." Well, Mark, first I had my coffee. I'm like, "Where's the toilet, man?" They're like, "Oh, well, you don't want to go in there, man. What we do is go down there by the river. You point down there, and there's a trail going into grass about 4 feet high." And pick yourself a spot and
Yeah.
be sure to take a stick with
Or
you.
it was kind of back in a grove too.
Yeah. Well,
It
it's like
was,
you could pick and
yeah.
choose your spot, but you basically had a flag. So you flag down your shithole. And I the one of the key turn key advice things is be sure you take yourself a nice stick. And I was like, "What for?" And oh, well, you'll see. You'll see. And you're sitting there and you're taking your shit. It's a nice day. You can hear the surf pound and you're off there. You're in Mexico, all those positive things. Man, I'm out here. I'm shitting in the woods. This is great. And then all of a sudden, as soon as the last turd clears the takeoff area and hits the hole, suddenly you hear the bushes kind of becoming agitated off in the distance. And you realize that you are now a major food source for those pigs. The shit you just took is something they're going to dig up and wolf it down. I mean, you have to literally hit them away. I remember whacking one because it came up from behind, and I didn't even finish wiping yet. I had to hit the pig to get it off my shit enough to like get my pants up. And then the first time you do it's pretty terrifying. And then you kind of get with the program, and you are the master, and the pigs come around. You scare them off until at least you've wiped your ass and pulled your shorts up again.
Yeah, I would take rocks. I would grab like a big handful of rocks out of off the beach or whatever, and just, you'd be like you said, sitting on your log, your favorite little spot, and like having to throw rocks to keep because they would literally
They'd eat the shit right out of your
eat
asshole if
the shit exactly,
you could.
Well,
But
you know
going
what?
so going with the pigs, I mean that's I've never been anywhere like that. I've never had like pigs attack me for my shit. I've never had to defend myself while going to the bathroom. But I remember looking in the bathroom and realizing that having pigs eat the shit out of my asshole is a better alternative to actually using the real banyo with the toilet that was
Ooh,
overflowing
I don't
with
think I ever
dust
used that.
and just disgustingness. And so that's why I don't call Tikla, I call it don't eat the pork tacos point.
You are what you eat.
Because I went to the bar too, and you guys, someone said they're on the menu, they're like, "Oh, how's the food here? Oh, it's really good, but I would stay away from the pork taco."
Well, I've told people over the years, I said, yeah, Tikla had this thing. They were the infamous cigar smoking pigs of Tikla. And they're like, cigar smoking pigs? What do you? And I said, dude, you don't know how many times, it's like you said, as soon as you get up from taking a shit, man, those pigs are on it. And I'd see a pig with a part of a turd hanging out of its mouth. It looked like a cigar butt, like just running through the jungle. And I was like, yeah, it's the famous cigar smoking pigs of Tikla.
Yeah, but it would get to be so normal after, 3 or 4 weeks or whatever. You'd come out, you'd be tying up your shorts, and you'd hear the pigs back there and going at it, and you'd just kind of come out of the bush and check the surf, and look how the surf will get your coffee. There was guys, and I don't know if you remember it, but when I first got there, they were south of Amalia's restaurant. There was an orange tent, and I never did see the guys in there. But you can see evidence of their struggle within that tent. And I'm talking the tent was up in the middle of, this is freaking hotter than hell. So these two guys endured a major hell in there. They had eaten the pork tacos or something. They both had the worst case of Montezuma's revenge. I mean, you would see like little shit piles and toilet paper. So they would crawl out, manage to somehow get out of their tent, crawl out, roll on their side, spray a shitload, wipe off, and then crawl back in the tent.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Did you ever get that when you were down
there? Yeah, I've had it, you know, several times, but not to that point where you just can't even leave. And, you know, doctor or anything. And then,
I mean, I had it pretty bad, not to where I got dehydrated, but like you said, you would like just barely make it back into the coconut grove and take a shit. And as soon as you got back to the campsite to get in your hammock, your stomach's boiling.
Yeah.
And it was like that for like, you know, hours and hours. And I remember one morning, I think it had gone on all night for me. And like the next day, everybody was out surfing, and I could kind of look out of my hammock and see, you know, you're right there on the beach watching everybody surfing, but you're like, it's the last thing I wanted to do,
exactly.
Surfing. But I guess it was like as things were solidifying, I had freaking flatulence like I've never, ever had before. Like, what? Almost like shitting where you would take a shit, barely make it to your hammock, and have to take another shit.
Oh.
It was farts just continue. It was like a continuous.
Yeah, that's dysentery.
Yeah, and I remember those guys coming back in from surfing. I was like, dude, wait till you hear this. And they were just like, oh, my God. And
I actually came home my first trip from Mexico. I had immediate dysentery and hepatitis. And the doctor told me,
ooh.
He said, man, you're lucky you came home when you did, because like literally another 2 weeks, you'd be on the verge of death. I mean, my mom just, I'll never forget when she saw me, she started crying. Like the first thing, not like, hi, Mark, welcome home. It was like, oh my God, my son. You know, she just went straight to the doctor. Cause I felt great, man. I just got back from surfing in Mexico. It was a great trip, Mom.
Well, you know what they called Tikla in the summertime? Hepatikla. because of all the rain up in the hills, you know, and then down the river mouth where you're surfing, basically. And it's, you know, everybody's laundry.
Yeah, no, turds floating around.
Bathroom,
you know, whatever. In Escondido that summer, and that's the same thing. I was in there in July, and same deal. We call it the Rio Baño. It flies – comes right down to Ticatella there. So yeah, we're
still
fish eating shit off the thing. So Mexico has improved quite a bit, you know. But another thing I remember is you're talking about Texans and the different groups that end up in Tikla, and like you say, Texans can bolt down there for a weekend or whatever and drive back.
Yeah,
they're always on this, like, I remember these guys pulled up and we were kind of sitting around. This happened a couple times. We're kind of sitting around the fire, and, you know, people pull up and, you know, they'll either come over and talk to you or they'll just do their own thing. And these guys pulled up and they started throwing boom boxes out and boards and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, all the essentials and they're playing their music. And one of you guys looked at each other, and the other guy looked back and said, hey man, should we tell them about the pigs?
Nah.
He said, nah. I don't think so.
They'll figure it out.
And I heard, they'll figure it out. And I remember hearing them in the morning. We got up, we had our coffee, and we kind of watched them like meander off in, you know, like going to take a shit. And they weren't given the instructions about the stick and
or the rock.
Yeah, I remember this guy just came tearing out of there with, you know, just in horror.
That's such a payback. Yeah,
there's hey,
well, now
you guys talking about surfing, man, you guys scored some serious waves there, didn't you?
Oh yeah, we caught great surf. That's why we went back the second time after the lynching year. You know, we were like, we'll go back and just be low keyed, and nothing ever really happened besides the one little run in with the Federales asking us about Al. It was chill. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a great trip. Hey, well, speaking of the travelers that show up at Tikla, Russell, we got to talk about Russell. Because what he was like from what, either Canada or Northern California?
Well, no, it was another one of those deals where we're sitting there in the morning, and you know the highway above Tikla, it's the classic. You're driving up on that highway, and you can pull over and you see this perfect point, which is yep. Tikla, from the road. You can actually see it from the road, which is good and bad. You know, people can see there's waves, so they come down there, but. But I remember hearing first the distinct of a Volkswagen, you know,
micro bus.
Yeah, he had a bike. He had a bus.
Oh,
he had a bus, and he had a full beard, and he showed up, and he was from Oregon.
Okay.
And he was in that group where they had the Bhagwan Rajneesh or whatever he was. Remember that?
See that. Realized that. I mean, I knew he was like a kind of the yoga type, yeah. But I didn't know he was actually
affiliated. He still had
purple. The Bhagwan.
He had the little purple. They all wore purple, and they had this like beaded necklace with the. It was black beaded necklace, and in the it had one of those photos. You know, in the, at the base of the necklace was the big bead, and in the photo was a picture of the hairy bearded yogi or whatever you call him. You know, but that This guy had convinced all his followers to, you know, one of those deals where give all your money and you'll go to heaven with me. And he would.
I've watched a documentary on him. Yeah.
And he had this commune in Oregon somewhere, and he had all these hippie, you know, guys or whatever. And so we're talking 85. So he drove around, would wave at him from his Rolls Royce, you know, and they would be so.
Exactly.
Like, wait a minute. I gave up everything and he's driving around in a Rolls Royce, but they wouldn't even see that. It's like the typical.
Yeah.
Typical enlightened or whatever religious experience. It's like, well, he deserves to be rich and I deserve to be poor because I'm not whatever. But the federal tax guys had come after the Bhagwan, and he flew out on his private jet, and the last thing they ever saw him was waving from his window as he went into exile in Germany or something. So what do you remember about Russell? Because that's I remember him distinctly coming down.
Yeah, because I do remember the documentary. That's where the Bhagwan, he bought that town basically and renamed the town after it was whatever the yogi name of the town in Oregon. Yeah. But I did not know at the time. Well, that was off my radar then, but I didn't know that Russell was part of that commune or whatever.
Yeah, so he was a very, very lost soul when we met him. He was very, he was looking like, you know, I don't even know where he got his van, you know, but he was looking for something, you know, and so he showed.
Well, I've got a couple good Russell stories.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Well, what do you remember from him?
Well, were you there when I got stung by the scorpion?
No. I was there when Russell got stung by the scorpion.
You were there for that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because that's
in the hospital.
I got stung first. Like, we were camping under the little thatched, if you want to call it a palapa, whatever, lean-to, or just shelter on the beach, mm-hmm. like where you were staying with us. And I'd gone out to take a piss on the beach because, you know, we were drinking beer and mezcal at night. And when I walked back into the campsite, I put my hand on the pole that held the roof up and put it right on a scorpion, and it hit me in the wrist. And of course, you know, I'm got a good buzz. I'm like dancing around. Oh shit!
Yeah. They for people that are listening, you should describe what it feels like to be stung like one of those.
It's kind of like a wasp sting, intense wasp burns, you know. But I didn't think it was any big deal, you know. I'm like, oh shit, I just got stung by. But I'm dancing all around, and you know, and you know, 15 minutes later, my whole arm starts going numb, and it goes across my chest, down my other arm, down through my chest and into my legs.
Where it,
like when you're laying on your arm and it falls asleep.
Yeah, you went
it's
numb.
Tingling. Yeah, I'm feeling, my whole body's feeling that. And I'm like, I look at Barry and I go, I think I might need to get to the doctor. So we go to this doctor's house. It was like right off the little square, village square. And we walk in, and it's like three generations of people sitting around in this house. We walk in, and he like took one look at me. Oh, and when we got there, I mean, I was barely taking these little gasps.
No kidding. Oh, so you did have an allergic reaction then.
Wow. Big time. Yeah. I mean, I was
shit,
like,
man.
But I wasn't even freaking out. Barry was like, the whole time, he's like, are you okay, man? I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. barely talking. Okay. Doctor takes one look at me and he's like, brings me in and sits me on this table. Like, his examination room is just a room in the house. You know, and so I lay down and he goes, and at that point, I don't even care what's going on, but he gets some kind of anti-venom or whatever and gives me like a shot in the arm and made me stay there for like, 30, 40 minutes or whatever to make sure everything was all kicking in. And so I'm laying, looking out at the street, basically the family's all sitting around in the living room watching TV, and we start hearing gunshots, pow, 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 pow. And I'm like, everybody starts like hitting the floor, the grandparents are jumping behind chairs, every doctor's running, and I'm laying facing the street. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, what's the problem? He's like, no, it's no problem. I'm like, what do you mean it's no problem? You guys are like hitting the dirt, man. Like, it's like, oh, it's marijuanos,
The cartel guys, huh?
Yep. So, it stayed there. Once, everything looked good, he let me go, and we went back to Tequila. That's what made me think of the Russell story. So Russell, the way I remember it, wasn't he like doing yoga?
Yeah. It started with, so he comes into town and we're sitting around, chilling at the fire, and he comes in the morning and he kind of leans out and looks at us, and hey, how you doing? Wave, do your own thing, no pushy thing. It was you guys and then me, and then Russell pulled up on the other side there and parked his thing, and we're kind of looking, check him out. He gets over and he comes over, and just kind of hung out for a while. And then I remember him being, he was so nice, and he said, I kind of like the vibe here, man. Do you guys mind if I stay for a few days? I was like, what do you mean? Because I just kind of like the surfer vibe. This is kind of cool, man.
Yeah, because he wasn't surfing. No, he was just a traveling
vibe.
Yeah.
You guys put off a good vibe. It's always like that kind of thing. I was like, sure, dude, put it, whatever, man. And then I was like, you might want to get a little more comfortable or something. He goes, yeah, well, I bought some shorts up in town there. He comes out with these, next thing he's got these elastic waistband Turo flower print down to your knee shorts. That's what he bought. We're all wearing board shorts. He's got these elastic waistband things. And then he kind of hung out for a while. Do you remember all this?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of hung out for a little while. And then one of you guys, or I think it was a board in Amalia's. It was a beater piece of shit board. And the waves were cranking, man. It was a good day.
It was pumping.
We were ready to go out, I think. And then the two French guys were already out there. And so we're all sitting there watching. And Russell says something like, hey, do you think I could give it a try?
You're like,
you guys are all like right on it. Like, yeah, man, go. Let me go get your board. Southern hospitality. Here we go. Yeah, man, let me get your board. Run into Molly's and get this piece of shit board. And no lessons. Go out down there, Russell, because La Tequila is a point. So, again, you can go out fairly easily. There's boulders, but there's urchins. Once you're out there, there's some pretty freaking bad urchins. And getting in, getting out is a lot easier than getting in. But so Russell goes down there, and we all decide to delay our surf sessions. We're like, oh, we got to wait more. We got to see this man. It's pretty evil when I think about it.
I know.
Down there with his elastic shorts on and his piece of shit board and his long hair and his beard and stuff. And he looked so happy going down there. He's just like, I think he had found his new religion. He gets out there, like you said, he made it out.
It was big that day, too.
It was close to double overhead.
Yeah.
And he makes it out there. And you guys are, like you just said, like, he made it out. Say it again. He made it out.
Yeah, he made it out. Yeah.
Not like that.
But he made it out.
That's made
it out. It was like this drama unfolding right before our eyes. We were like, holy shit, they made it out there. God, no.
Yeah, and then just as he's getting out there, here comes a set, and it gets sucked out, and he's in the impact zone, and the French dude takes off over Russell and cuts in, just drops in just in front of Russell, and the lip just annihilates. The last thing you see is Russell going backwards. over the falls, you know, in the tube, you know, basically thing. You know what I mean? He was right in the impact zone. The French dude took off. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Russell just gets annihilated. You see the board go flying, and you see ass, you know, his ass or whatever.
But remember when he came up on the beach?
Yeah, that's what do you remember?
I remember being like ecstatic, like it was the best freaking thing that he ever did. You know, yeah. So excited, like that was amazing, man. Is that how you remember?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he got out, like we were watching, like he got out. He actually got out, no urchins.
Yeah,
you know, I remember his shorts that kept, or you know, because he had the elastic thing, so his ass was like hanging out.
Well, he had the Bhagwan watching over him to not pick up any urchins. That was divine intervention.
Yeah, and he never caught a wave. He just got totally.
But still, like to him, it was the most exhilarating. Like, God, that was fuck. That was so unreal.
Yeah, and we're all like, right on, Russell, man. Yeah, you know, we're all stoked for him. And then he goes. He kind of takes a deep breath. You know, the adrenaline's starting to go now. He's like, you guys mind if I just go? You know, he's so polite. You guys mind if I go just kind of chill, sit on my mat and meditate for a little while? I was like, no, man, Russell, way to go, man. Freaking hero. Yeah, whatever. And then he goes and he changes and he's over there and we're getting ready to, I was waxing up or something. We were getting ready to go out. And then you just hear this.
Yeah.
He was over there on his mat. He was on a, like his yoga mat. You know, he's trying to calm down. He goes, oh, shit. And I look over there and there's a big old scorpion running away from him and it bit him right on his ass. and I'm like, Russell, you know, he's like screaming. He's like, oh, fuck. You know, he totally lost. This is the same day. Like he comes there, he does his surfing, he gets bit by a scorpion. And then I'm like, dude, are you allergic to those things? I don't know. So I took him up. I've gotten his van and took him. I don't know if you guys came along with me.
No, I didn't. I just heard about it.
You guys went surfing.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Imagine that. And then, so anyways, I took him up to that same little doctor you're talking about.
Yeah.
When you described it, it's the exact same thing. It was just a room in front of the guy's house. So the whole way I'm like, Russell, lay down, just calm down. Cause he was freaking out. He's like, I hope I don't die, man. This is, you know, he was like way too pumped up. I was like, dude, just chill out. You'll be good. And his damn, we were going so slow up that hill, you know, which was causing him to freak out even more. And we get to the doctor's office. And by now there was pregnant women in there.
I think I know I remember where you're going with this.
Russell goes in there and the doctor's there. And there's pregnant women sitting there, you know, and they're, you know, Mexicans are amazing at killing time. They go into another realm.
It's a Zen thing.
Then Russell pops in the door with his his near death look on his eyes, you know. You know, he was so mellow, like only a matter of hours before. It looks like Yosemite Sam. He runs in there like Yosemite Sam. And the ladies kind of bob their heads up and they kind of, wow, you know, can you imagine an unusual?
Yeah, where did this dude come from?
Russell dropped his pants right there in front of the ladies. And that, now you said you got it in the arm, but he put a big shot and the needle was pretty substantial. He put it right in the top right cheek of his ass. Then he calms down and he's good. And I remember getting up in the morning and I heard like 4 a.m. By the time I got up out of my hammock, Russell was gone.
That thing was like a 60-something little microbus. I was like, how did that guy even make it?
2 hours in Tikla,
yeah,
by Russell Rajneesh. I would love to hear his story.
I heard when he got to the doctor and the doctor needed to give him a shot that he did drop his pants in front of everybody and the doctor was going, no, a key in the arm. Like,
that might have been what happened.
Didn't need to get it. That's gas, but he did bear his ass in front of everybody.
Yeah, like, I think
the
that's,
doctor.
Yeah,
like,
that's...
No, a key in the arm.
You know, I always hope eventually someone younger who about was our age, and they're out there. You know, when I travel, I still see them out there. They're still the adventurous souls out there, but there's also the ones. You know, like I've had former students go, man, Mr. Imhoff, that's your stories are, how'd you go there? You know, I was like, I just basically
boat.
Went.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you save the money? You know, and I was like,
not much.
What are you talking about? I didn't have much. I just sold whatever shit I had around the house and went.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. The big thing with a lot of people, I think, don't ever do something like that or don't really travel. And they're the ones that kind of have the closed mindset, you know, about, oh, you know, the Mexicans, they're dirty or, you know, it's dangerous or whatever. But when you do that and get out of your comfort zone and kind of live with the people and experience it, it's just such a great thing that you just want to keep doing it.
What happened when you guys left Tikla?
Well, yeah, so one of our cardinal rules, too, on that trip was don't smoke weed in the van. All of course, we
was that did you have that like hanging from the mirror?
Yeah,
that was that our rule number
that
one.
Was, Russell would be impressed. That was our mantra, you know, like no weed in the van. No, we would get up every day. We had to chant that, like, you know, whatever, 50 times if we meditate. No weed in the van. No weed in the van. So the night before we're getting, you know, we're kind of packing up. It's like time to start heading back to the Outer Banks. And we say our goodbyes and we're on the road heading off, you know, back to North Carolina. And we're heading up into the middle of the country. It's the middle of the night, which we are breaking that. Another cardinal rule of Barry, I think, was driving. I was asleep. Brown was in the very back of the van asleep. And we come up on a Federale checkpoint. So we all kind of wake up, you know, and they get us out of the van. Well, the first thing they do is go to the ashtray and they open it up and they pull out a joint. Like, who the fuck broke the cardinal rule? You know, we knew that. Like, and the only thing I can think is we were having so much fun the last night, you know, had weed in the van. And it looked like there had been a couple of hits off of it. It wasn't a complete, you know, it was burned like a quarter, maybe it's three quarters of a joint, maybe. Well, Federales with a plain clothes guy with them, and Brown jumps up. He kind of sees what's going on, that they found this joint, and he's like offering Hustler magazine, you know, pulling out money. And the guy, today's your lucky day. Don't, no worries. You know, I mean, the guy spoke really good English and basically told us, you know, don't be stupid.
A free ticket. Yeah, don't be any stupid. Don't be any stupider than you already are.
Yeah, and he gave us a get out of jail free card. We used on the spot and continued on home. But yeah, that was
Lord.
Little.
I like Brown's constant bribery technique. If there's anybody there that actually understood Mexico, it sounds like it was Brown.
Yeah.
But hey, man, I hope someday we can hook up again. And I appreciate you sharing it today. Deputy Stank from North Carolina.
So a few parting words from the old sage Deputy Stank to all the people out there in Podland. It's a big, wild, wonderful world out there. So get out and do some exploring. You never know what you might find. Never stop wondering and never stop wandering. And to quote some of my favorite sages, what a long, strange trip it's been. And if you ever find yourself deep down in the darkest bowels of Mexico, whatever you do, don't eat the pork tacos.